from misery to happiness to me.
Scotland may be on the road to happiness with the upcoming vote on independence, long fought for from Robert the Bruce and William Wallace to the current Scottish National Party. The vote is a simple yes or no plebiscite, as University of Adelaide's Professor Clem McIntyre from the School of History and Politics, who also claims Scottish heritage, explains.
It's a yes or no vote, and the eligible people are those who live in Scotland, which can include some of the, you know, the English that have moved there and so on. And
do people view that as being fair then?
I think so. Most people would say if you're going to have a referendum, then it's the residents of Scotland who should have a say. And given that they're all British passport holders, trying to work out who's genuinely Scottish or not is open to some debate. The Scottish Parliament, when it was formed, uses a different electoral system. It uses proportional representation rather than first past the post, which is what's used for elections in Westminster.
He says that the Scottish National Party has used a proportional representation system to mostly stay in power.
The SNP have been very successful there. Labour held office for a bit, but the SNP have been in power most of the time since that parliament was established.
The Scottish seats in Westminster mainly go to Labour, so in effect they have the most to lose if independence was achieved. The
Tories hold one or two, I think it's one at the moment. SNP hold a handful. The rest of them are Labour seats, a couple of Liberals. If they all, in a sense, are removed from Westminster, if the Westminster Parliament shrinks as the Scottish members step away from it, that will have a much bigger impact upon Labour than it will upon the Conservative Party. So Labour have got some anxiety about what the impact for them would be if Scotland does become an independent country. If Labour came back with effectively 50 of its members taken out because Scotland was an independent country, then that would make it much, much harder for them to win an overall majority and make it easier for the Conservatives to be confident of either a majority in their own right or being the largest party in a position to really talk terms over coalitions.
In Australia, we have a Scottish town on the Clarence River, Maclean, where a Scottish gathering is held every year. Maclean resident Kenneth MacLeod thinks full independence could be difficult.
Well, I think that one of the problems is whether they really can claim the North Sea oil for Scotland, as they suppose they can, because much of their thinking is based upon the economy being strong enough through the revenue from the oil to support the various things that have to be supported, say, defence. And I feel, too, that there is going to be a problem with the membership of the European Union. Not that that would be a problem to me.
Scottish community leader Bob McPherson also thinks that money could be a consideration for the Scots.
A percentage of the Scots would like to break away and be independent, and I can understand that, but there's a great concern about whether they can afford to do it.
Clem McIntyre says the polls also are indicating a no vote.
All the opinion polls at the moment suggest that the vote is unlikely to get up.
The young tend to be for independence, as Kenneth MacLeod recounts his own experience with his own son.
I've just had my son over from Scotland for a holiday. He comes over every year as much as he can, and I'm afraid that I couldn't convince him of my way of thinking. He's more inclined to vote for independence.
Bob McPherson, you have your doubts, but would you like independence for Scotland?
Sure, yes, I would. I think any country should have their independence, but it's a question of whether they can stand alone and financially achieve that.
That they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
That report by Roderick Chambers.